Hello and welcome to another Health Matters, coming to you from the studios of Noongar Radio here in Perth. And today we're talking all about hepatitis. And joining me in the studio is Rodney Hatch. He's from Hepatitis WA. Rebecca Bowman, also from Hepatitis WA, one of the clinic coordinators there. And Donna Garcia. And she'll let us know a bit more about her position a little bit later as well. But firstly, a bit of a question there for Rebecca. Let's start off with, what is hepatitis and what causes it?
So hepatitis is an inflammation of your liver. So your liver is this great big beautiful organ that sits kind of underneath your rib cage, and it's like a sponge, and it helps you process like all the food, all the, you know, drugs, whatever that you take into your body. When it's inflamed, it doesn't work as well, and you can't quite process all those things that you're taking into you. So when you have hepatitis, your liver is damaged, you can feel quite sick sometimes, and it can take a little while for your body to process all the medications that you're taking into you. So, yeah.
Yeah, so basically it's doing a pretty important job.
Yeah, it does. It does a really important job, and that's why it's so important that we know about hepatitis and that we are in a position to be able to treat it, which we are now with hepatitis C. And there are a few different kinds of hepatitis, so people can often get a bit confused, which is completely normal when you've got all these letters kind of rolling around. But basically there are six different hepatitis viruses that we call A, B, C, D, E and G. So we're just going to not worry about the D, E and G for a little while. You've got mainly hepatitis A, which is caused by kind of if you're not washing your hands properly after you go to the toilet and you prepare some food, you can get the virus into your system and get quite sick.
From feces.
Yeah. And that's a virus that is kind of, we say it's self-limiting, so that means that you get it, you get really crook, and then you get better again. And then you've got hepatitis B. So hepatitis B is a virus that you can get from sexual contact, and you can also get it from mother to baby. So in Australia, a lot of people get it when they are born, so they get it from the process of being born. And then you've got hepatitis C.
Yeah, so a few things to remember there, but I'm sure we'll go back to those throughout the show right here on Health Matters, come to you from the studios of Noongar Radio here in Perth. And I'm Jeff Michael, because I forgot to say who I was earlier on. Okay, so Rebecca, what treatment options are available for people with hepatitis? And I suppose that would depend on the earlier different types.
It absolutely depends on the different types. One of the most exciting things that's happening at the moment is the treatment for hepatitis C. So as I was about to say before, hepatitis C is caused mainly through blood-to-blood contact. So if someone else's blood, or the blood of someone who has hepatitis C, gets into your bloodstream. And a lot of the time that's through sharing needles, it can be through sharing razors or toothbrushes, sometimes it's through blood transfusions, a long time ago it was through blood transfusions, but now they test everything. So the treatment that we have now is so easy. It's one tablet once a day for 3 months.
Okay, and this is Health Matters, and we're talking hepatitis, and we've just been hearing from Rebecca Bowman just there. And this is Health Matters, coming to you from the studios of Noongar Radio here in Perth. I'm Jeff Michael, and today's topic is hepatitis. And I might ask Rodney a couple of questions now. And firstly, Rodney, tell us your position. What do you do there at Hepatitis WA?
Right, hiya, Jeff. Firstly, I'd like to say that I feel privileged and to be born and raised on Noongar Boodja and to be living and working on the country. I work for Hepatitis WA. I started there as a volunteer, working on the needle and syringe program. I did that for a couple of years. We'd have people coming in off the street, and we would supply them with what we would call harm reduction paraphernalia, clean injecting equipment. It was realised fairly early on in the piece that that was a way to protect people from bloodborne viruses. It was not so much to criticise them for what they were doing, but to ensure that they could do it as safely as possible, and possibly until they were ready to move on from that lifestyle. What I do now is I work in prisons. I do prison education on bloodborne viruses.
Yep. And I suppose, yeah, when did you first start off with that? When was first realised that, hey, perhaps we should try and give people a safe way?
Yeah, when did I first...
What year was that?
Yeah, oh, look, we're going back to the mid-1980s at this point, I think, you know. And I've got to give, kudos to the Australian government. They did get on board with harm reduction policies. There was a lot of lobbying, you know, from grassroots people who saw that harm reduction could save a lot of lives and save the health system probably billions of dollars, you know. So Australia's been one of the more successful countries around the world, and a big part of that has been supplying fresh injecting equipment. Now, the problem in prison is that prisoners don't have access to fresh injecting equipment, and there are a lot of prisoners who use drugs. That's the reality of the situation. People do use drugs in prison, and they need to be informed of what the dangers are of some of the practices of contamination of bloodborne viruses in the syringes that they're sharing.
Absolutely.
Okay, so how can someone know if they have hepatitis, Rodney?
Right, okay. I wouldn't necessarily sit around waiting for symptoms to show up. Yeah. You know, there are symptoms that sometimes do manifest. Sometimes people might have a bit of jaundice, which is a bit of yellowing of the skin and yellowing of the eyes. They might just notice that they've got an upset belly. You know, a bit of gastro problems. So maybe they've got the runs, or they feel a bit nauseous, or they might just feel like they've got the flu. Maybe a bit of itchy skin and rashes, that kind of thing. But I would suggest that probably the best way of knowing if you've got hepatitis is to be educated about how the viruses are transmitted.
And get a blood test,
yeah. Yeah, so if you think you've done anything risky, or if anything risky has happened to you, once you know what those risky things are, because they are quite limited, what the risky things are, you know, if you've done any of those things or any things like that have happened to you, to go and have a blood test, for sure.
Yeah, and we kind of touched on it earlier on there, but what are the best ways to manage and maintain quality of life if you're living with hepatitis?
I would say that, firstly, find out what kind of hepatitis you've got.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If you've got hepatitis from drinking, you really have to ease up on your drinking, you know. You know, a lot of people get liver damage from drinking too much. The viruses, hepatitis A is a kind of a limited virus. People tend to get over it without too much of a problem, just to have a doctor monitor your health while you get through it. As far as hepatitis B and hepatitis C goes, you need to be looking at the kind of treatments that you might be able to go on. As far as hepatitis C is concerned, I'd say the best thing to do is just go in and get it sorted. Take the cure. There's wonderful cure drugs now available for hepatitis C, and you can be cured. But having said that, it's worth looking after your liver, you know. There's lots of things you can do to maintain a healthy liver.
Yeah. Okay, Rodney, we'll take another musical break here on Health Matters, and we're talking hepatitis. And joining me in the studio is Rodney Hatch, Rebecca Bowman and Donna Garcia, and I'm Jeff Michael for Health Matters for today. And we're speaking with Rodney before that song there. And Rodney, what can people do to support friends or family who have hepatitis? What things reckon people could do to help those?
Oh, Jeff, I would say just number one is just keep on loving them, you know. Keep them in your life. Be curious about what's going on for them. Get yourself, just support them and value them, you know, and get a bit of education around what's going on for them. Learn about the whatever type of hepatitis they might have, you know, and what their options are. But yeah, I'd say basically, you know, just support them emotionally. Support them with their lifestyle choices too, because lifestyle choices are very important around living with hepatitis. And have an education too, because one thing that happens with stigma, and stigma is still a very real thing, is that people tend to get, I would say, maybe a bit anxious and paranoid about things that they don't necessarily have to worry about. And maybe they're dropping the ball and not paying attention to the things they do need to worry about. So definitely get the education and just keep loving them and support them.
Yeah, and I suppose what would those things be that people have to worry about or not worry about?
Right, okay. Well, if we're talking about hepatitis C is strictly a bloodborne virus.
Yeah.
So if there's no exposure to blood, if there's no risk of someone's infected blood getting into your bloodstream. Now, that's a pretty tricky thing to happen, Jeff. You know, it's not every day that we get someone else's blood into our bloodstream. So there's only certain ways that can happen that we can take precautions around. So as far as Hep C goes, it's just like playing the blood rule in footy, you know, and treat everyone the same. You know, we're talking about, oh, okay, now we know we have a loved one who has hepatitis, but what about the ones that we don't know have hepatitis? And that may be us. So pretty much just respect blood, treat everyone the same. If anyone has an injury and there's some bleeding involved, just down tools, get the injury cleaned up, get the wound covered up, clean up any blood in a careful manner, and then you can get on with the game.
Yeah, and I suppose, yeah, kind of keeping on that topic, I suppose any message for anyone who's worried they may have been at risk of getting hepatitis, should they, what, panic or what? No?
You don't have to panic. You can keep a cool head. But as Beck said, just get in to see your GP and have a blood test. And you know, just on that, it's not a bad idea. Just as a general way of taking responsibility for your health and taking care of your health is to just go in and see your doctor and have a regular blood test. You know, there's all sorts of things that they can pick up from blood tests. It's like an early warning detection system for all kinds of illnesses, and you can pick things up and nip them in the bud before they get too serious. But yeah, go in and have a blood test and then you can get on treatment.
And you know, if you don't feel comfortable going to see your GP, we have the Dean Clinic at Hepatitis WA and we can do blood tests for free. Like, just drop in, have a chat.
Whereabouts?
So we're
at Rebecca.
Yeah, we're at 134 Aberdeen Street in Northbridge. And yeah, come and see me, have a chat, and I'll take your blood. I'm really good.
Okay. And this is Health Matters. We're talking hepatitis today, and it's coming to you from the studios of Noongar Radio. This is Health Matters coming to you from the studios of Noongar Radio here in Perth. I'm Jeff Michael, and in the studio with me is Rodney Hatch, Rebecca Bowman and Donna Garcia, and today's topic is hepatitis. Now, before the break, we were talking about going to the doctor to have some tests done and the blood tests, and I suppose specifically we should have been asking for a certain kind of test or what? What should we be doing when we go to the doctor when we're asking about hepatitis there, Donna?
Okay, so if you go to your local doctor, you'd have to ask him to get the BV.
Yeah, a BBV screen.
Yeah. Otherwise, they won't test you for bloodborne viruses. You have to ask for it.
Yeah. And it's really important to know with hepatitis C, I'm not going to get too technical, but a lot of people panic because they've been told they have hepatitis C when they just have the antibodies. So you really do need to... If anyone's ever told you you've got antibodies for Hep C, then you need to go see a health professional or us at the Dean Clinic and just make sure that you've actually got the virus active in your system.
Yeah, so suppose might have to get a little bit technical. What does it mean when you've got antibodies?
So antibodies are our body's our body's kind of immune system. They're our little warriors that our body produces to fight off infection. So whenever you get a virus, your body starts producing something called antibodies, and they can show up in the blood. And when a health professional sees antibodies for something, it says that you've come into contact with that virus. So for hepatitis C, 25% of people who come into contact with it can clear the virus on their own, so they can get rid of it themselves.
So basically, it's not necessarily bad news.
No, it's not necessarily bad news. And with hepatitis B, as an adult, if you come into contact with it, you've got about a 90-95% chance of getting rid of it yourself.
Mm. Okay, Donna Garcia. Gonna ask you about...
She said I can't look at her when she answers questions.
Oh, okay. Good thing you're on the radio then, because no one can see anyone. No one can see me either. Now tell us about this needle syringe program at Hepatitis WA. Donna.
Okay, the needle syringe program provides limited quantities of sterilised injecting equipment free of charge to people who inject drugs. The aim of the needle and syringe program is to ensure injecting equipment is sterilised and available in the community so that people who inject drugs are not obliged to share equipment. This minimises the risk of coming in contact with the blood-borne viruses like hepatitis and stops infected people from spreading it. Where we are, we deal with a lot of the homeless, so it's good having that so that they don't share and they can get it daily.
If they need it. Yeah.
They need it. And also when they come in, like me personally, I've got all the, you know, the Indigenous mob coming in and I get to talk to them and that and tell them about, you know, backyard tattoos are bad for our mob, eh? And that's a real bad way of catching Hep C. And just knowing, and like with Beckman, she's magic in the clinic. So, you know, if you come in and she'll pull you straight in and start talking to you and, you know, even in that shock of even thinking that you got it, she clears your mind.
Mm. So, get over it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so you reckon that backyard tattoos are...
Really bad for our mob. Yeah, because no one wants to cough up money to go get a big daddy tattoo, you know, but, yeah.
What is it about it that makes it dangerous, right?
Well, I can guarantee they're probably not sterilising their equipment like you're supposed to.
Nah, you reckon they're just washing it under some water?
Might as well go to Bali and get a tattoo, you know, if it's not a professional tattoo, the risk of getting hepatitis C is high.
Mm. So yeah, if you've got backyard tattoos or you've been to Bali and had some tattooing done,
that's a risk.
It's a risk factor. You should probably get tested.
Sounds like a bad idea all around. Anyway, getting tattoos.
Yeah,
just like to get those little stick-on ones that you sometimes find in the open up a packet of Chewies or something like that. But anyway, that's another story for another day when perhaps we might be talking about diabetes eating lollies and stuff. Now, I suppose, Donna, do you reckon there's been a difference in having an Aboriginal person working at the needle syringe program there?
Oh, can I? Sorry.
Oh,
I know Donna said that I was magic, but actually I think Donna's magic because she's so great. Like, people come in and you feel comfortable straight away. Like, yeah, it's really good. Donna's little face is the first thing you see when you walk in.
I just feel that, I can talk with the mob and try and talk them into getting tested. We've had a lot through lately, they feel easier talking to me, I suppose.
Yeah.
You need that smiley face and someone that can understand what they're going through.
Yeah, whereabouts there's this Needle Syringe program.
It's at 34 Aberdeen Street, Hepatitis WA.
134.
What did I say?
Yeah, 34.
34, yeah. Okay. Right opposite Russell Square.
Straight across the road from Russell Square. Yeah.
Or Bungee Parkers.
Bungee Park.
Bungee Park.
Yeah. I always used to say it's like right opposite the old Black Betty's, but I don't know, I think that only works for a certain generation. I don't know.
Used to be the post office.
Yes, the post office.
Which shows how old I am. And I remember when it really was a post office, which again shows how old I am. Health Matters coming to you from the studios of Noongar Radio here in Perth. I'm Jeff Michael, and in the studio with me is Donna Garcia, Rebecca Bowman and Rodney Hatch. We're talking about hepatitis today, and Rodney, when I last spoke with you, we're talking about a few things, and I understand you wanted to tell us a little bit more about what was the topic
Jeff, I just wanted to emphasise that, because, you know, I'm pretty keen on giving people a positive message about positive things they can do as well. And, you know, because as Beck said, your liver is such an important organ in your body. If you do a few simple things to take care of your liver, that's going to flow through to your general physical and mental health and emotional well-being. You know, it really works. So as far as maintaining a healthy liver, I would say the first thing you want to do is go in and have a check-up and see how your liver's travelling, you know. You can have a liver function test and a doctor can tell you how well it's travelling. If you've got Hep C, take the cure. Just get cured. But it's important to remember that there's no immunity to hepatitis C, so you can get reinfected if you do those dodgy things that we talked about, sharing needles, sharing tattoo equipment, that kind of thing. But the things to do to maintain a healthy liver and take care of your liver, you really do have to watch out how much you drink, how much alcohol you drink. You know, alcohol is quite toxic to your liver, so you have to be careful about that. A lot of liver disease these days, especially in Western countries, is caused by people being a bit overweight and smoking, you know. So those kind of things can lead to liver disease and just exacerbate any liver problems you've already got. Have those regular health checks. You can get a vaccine for Hep A and B, so you can protect yourself against those two. There's no vaccine for Hep C.
And they're just needles that, again, I'm very good at. So you won't even know that you've had it if I give you that needle.
Get a vaccine from Ben. Yeah.
Quite proud of
my needle skills. Yeah.
The needle, aren't you?
You want to watch out what kind of drugs and medications you use, whether they're over-the-counter drugs or prescription drugs or drugs that you use recreationally. You know, do a bit of Googling and do a bit of research and talk to your doctor and your nurse and your health professionals and find out how toxic those things are to your liver, because a lot of medications are quite toxic. Paracetamol is a good example. It's fairly toxic to your liver in excessive doses. But drink plenty of water. That's a simple thing everyone can do.
Yeah.
Don't get dehydrated. Drink plenty of water. Your liver loves water. It'll operate that much more efficiently. Your liver loves exercise too, so get out there and get some fresh air and take a walk and exercise your muscles. And your liver will love you for it. There are liver tonics you can take. They actually work. You know, there's been some good research into liver tonics that they can help your liver to regenerate and repair and just to function that much better.
And just remember that the liver is the only organ in your body that can grow back.
Yes, that's amazing. True.
Yep. So it can grow back healthy if you treat it right. So you can have a damaged liver.
It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world if you've done a bit of damage to your liver, because it can bounce back.
It'll grow back
And that's something that I've seen with people. Like if you are out there and you've had Hep C for a while, like your doctor told you like 20 years ago you got Hep C but there's nothing you can do about it, don't think that it's too late now, because I've seen people come in and they've had Hep C for like 20, 30 years and their liver's a bit dodgy, you know, their blood tests a bit wonky, but once they've had the treatment, their liver tests go back to normal. Like, it's amazing. It's wonderful.
And it's a new treatment.
And it is a lot of people it's a had new the old treatment
and it's turned them off of it.
Yeah.
But now it's just tablets.
Yeah, tablets. No, not many side effects at all, like maybe a headache people complain about, but that's really it. And it's really effective. So, if you've been thinking about it, go get the treatment.
Now, you mentioned these tonics. I'm always skeptical when people talk about tonics and they do wonderful things. What is in?
I'm not going to vouch for every jar on the chemist's shelf. You know, I'm pretty skeptical myself, and that's why I've looked into it a fair bit to make sure that these tonics are okay. But what you'll probably find in a liver tonic is something called milk thistle. You know, now that's a herb. You can take it in herbal form, or you just take it as a supplement. It comes in a supplement capsule. Milk thistle, dandelion, and artichoke. They are three things, similar plants. They're all related, but they all have alkaloids in them, which can help your liver to repair. And there's been a fair bit of research done on that.
And none of those will actually cure the hepatitis C or hepatitis B. So it's really important that you still talk to a doctor about it. And with hepatitis C, it's really important that you talk to your doctor about getting those tablets that will get rid of that virus.
The other thing is healthy food. You know, just the things that the doctor tells you, you know, to eat your leafy greens, eat some good fish, doesn't matter if it comes out of a can, you know, just oily, bony fish, eat some beans, you know, eat pumpkin, eat artichoke, garlic, grapes, lemon, eat a bowl of porridge. Have a handful of nuts every day, walnuts or almonds. You know, those sort of things just exercise your liver and help it to function really well. You know, just simple things you can add into your diet every day to help your liver. Even tea or coffee is good for your liver.
Or come and see Donna for some fit packs and get a fresh fruit salad, which we give away at our NSP for free.
Yeah, and you don't need to take a... Give them a needle, though, do you, Rebecca?
No.
You're quite proud about your needle administering skills out on that. Anyway, this is Health Matters, and we're talking about hepatitis. Noongar Radio, and we're talking hepatitis with Rodney Hatch, Rebecca Bowman, and Donna Garcia, and I'm Jeff Michael here on Health Matters. And if you've just tuned in, got to ask, where were you? But also... Perhaps for Rebecca, Donna and Rodney, what are some of the, we'll go back to the first question that I asked, and what is hepatitis and what causes it?
Hepatitis WA deals with, works with people who may have come into contact with hepatitis. We try and prevent the transmission of hepatitis, and we provide treatment for people with hepatitis C. So hepatitis is a inflammation of the liver, which, as I said before, is my favourite organ in the body. It's this amazing spongy organ that sits under your rib cage. And it helps you process all the food, all the medications, all the like illicit drugs that you may or may not take into your system, and importantly, all the alcohol that you may or may not take
into
your system.
And it's the only organ that can heal itself.
Yes, it's the only organ that can heal itself. So if you stop doing those things, you can get it back up to full function again.
Yeah, because
some people can.
It does a fairly important job trying to break down all the chemicals that we take in.
And so if you call Hepatitis WA, our phone number is 9227 9800. One of our lovely volunteers will answer the phone and have a chat with you and answer any questions that you may specifically have about hepatitis. A lot of people have very specific questions, so we can help you with those. That's 9227 9800. We are at 134 Aberdeen Street in Northbridge, office at Bungie Park or Russell Square, and you can drop in and see one of our volunteers or Donna to get a fit pack, which basically is a pack of needles for people who choose to inject drugs, or you can come into that same address and see me. You don't have to make an appointment. You can just drop in and I can have a chat to you and test you for hepatitis or other bloodborne viruses and talk to you about maybe getting on the treatment. And the treatment that I know I've mentioned a couple of times this hour is, it's a brand new treatment, so if you've heard about it before, just forget everything that you've heard. It's really simple now. It's one tablet once a day for about 3 months. And it has really few side effects. It only costs you... So if you have no concession card, no closing the gap, it's $30 a month. If you have a concession card but no closing the gap, it's $6. And I'm pretty sure if you have both, it's free. So sweet deal. Get on it.
And can I just say something about the new treatments, just from a personal perspective, is... You know, I'm someone who lived with hepatitis C for probably many decades and probably thinking that I was one of the lucky ones who didn't have a lot of health effects from my hep C. And there's a lot of people in that situation who may think, oh, why should I bother going on the treatment because my hep C is not really affecting me. But I went on treatment. I got the cure. I was cured within 3 months. And after a while, I started to realise that my energy levels had increased and I actually felt 5 years younger. Mm. So the hepatitis C had been affecting me. It had been sneaking up on me over the years, and I'd probably been putting it down to the fact that I...
Old age.
Thanks, Beck. Oh. Yeah, getting older, not particularly fit, you know, maybe other things going on. And then I realised that, hey, actually, I have... bounce back physically and mentally.
And we hear that a lot. People are like, wow, I just feel so much better. I don't have like the brain fog, you know, that's a real big thing. People are like, oh, I just feel like foggy, like I can't concentrate. And people have the treatment and they're like, yeah, I think a lot clearer, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I'm on top of my game now. So I would recommend to people to just get in there and get the treatment, you know.
Yeah, what else do you reckon people should keep in mind, or what should they ask for?
Well, I think one of the important things is if you have hep C, or if you're someone who maybe, you know, back in the 60s or 70s, you're a bit of a wild child and you might have experimented a little bit, you know, maybe think about getting a test anyway, just because we know that there's a lot of people out there who are living with hep C and don't know about it. And it's really this baby boomer population that are out there undiagnosed, and we'd really like to get those people diagnosed and treated so that we can get rid of it, because we're in this really awesome position of being able to eradicate hep C.
But also if they know they've got hep C, and you get two people that's got hep C and they share a needle, they've still got a chance of getting different strands.
Yes.
Okay, so there is different strands for hep C.
Yep.
And it will get worse and worse. So it doesn't matter if you got hep C, still don't share needles. No.
Good point. Thanks. And if you get rid of it, you can catch it again. So basically, don't share needles, get treated.
And the other thing about sharing needles too is that, you can get reinfected with a different strand of hep C, but there are other blood-borne viruses like hepatitis B, HIV, and all sorts of other injecting-related infections that you can pick up from sharing needles. So if you are going to inject, just be as hygienic and as sterile as you possibly can.
And that really means getting clean needles from a NSP, which can be either us at Hepatitis WA or
PFAS harm reduction or WAC, with Australian AIDS Council.
Yeah.
I suppose that's almost it for us for today. Just heard the buzzer go. So thank you very much for joining us today here on Health Matters. We've been talking hepatitis with Rodney Hatch, Rebecca Bowman and Donna Garcia. And I'm Jeff Michael. And we'll catch you next time right here on Health Matters.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.